It's time for A Different Slant with John Flavin, a local forum with opinions, discussions, and ideas about issues that affect our lives right here in Sausalito and Southern Marin. And now, too tall for TV, just right for radio, your host, John Flavin.
Hello, I'm John Flavin, and today I'm going to give you a different slant on the decision last Tuesday night by the majority of the Sausalito City Council to proceed with the annexation of the Sausalito Fire Department by the Southern Marin Fire District. It was a split decision, with the three men voting yes and the two women voting no. During the lead-up to the vote, facts and figures were flying all over the place. I'm going to attempt to lay the key facts out for you, and then, later in the show, touch one aspect that continues to concern me. But first, I must confess I have made some mistakes in the past shows. Mistakes that were gently pointed out to me by a friend. First, I reported that it would require over 50% of the Sausalito voters to protest the annexation to slow the process down. Actually, protests by over 25% of the voters would put the decision to a public vote, and protests from over 50% would terminate the annexation. Second, I raised a concern about the presence of binding arbitration in the current Memorandum of Understanding between the Fire District and the Firefighters Association. In reality, the binding arbitration provision only applies to grievances, and it is unlikely that the binding arbitration would be extended to compensation and benefits. Finally, I stated that the district would not be incurring any pension liability as a result of the transfer of the 15 firefighters from Sausalito to the district. In actuality, the district will incur a $3.7 million pension liability as a result of the transfer, to be added to the district's existing $10.5 million unfunded liability. Now, how is this possible, I asked. The firefighters are all new employees of the district. Why is there a unfunded liability? The answer is most pension funds have a minimum period of service before retirement benefits kick in. This period is supposed to allow the fund to accumulate sufficient reserves to make the pension payments. The new pension liability is the result of the district's pension fund giving consideration of the former Sausalito firefighters' prior years of service for pension eligibility, but not credit for it. Confused? It's easiest to look at an example. A former Sausalito firefighter over the age of 50 worked for Sausalito for 20 years before transferring to the district, and then he decides to retire after 1 year with the district. Normally, the district's pension fund requires 10 years of service for an employee to be eligible for retirement. But in this case, the fund recognizes the firefighter's time with Sausalito towards that eligibility. The district's fund is therefore liable to fund 1 year of retirement or 3% of the firefighter's last year's compensation. Since the district fund has only received 1 year of pension payments for this particular employee, it does not have sufficient reserves to make the pension payments, and therein is the source of the new unfunded pension liability of $3.7 million. I hope that's clear. It took me a while to get my head around it. Now that I've corrected my mistakes, let's look at some other details. Cost savings. There were references Tuesday night that fire protection currently costs 55% of our property taxes, and after the annexation, only 45%. That would be nearly a $600,000 savings. However, the Marin Independent Journal had it right when it reported the city would be saving $184,000 annually as a result of the annexation. That's $27.60 per property taxpaying unit. Equipment transfer. The city will be transferring some equipment to the district along with $240,000 from an equipment reserve account. This makes sense. We property taxpayers paid for the equipment originally and funded the reserve, so they should go with us to the district. Rent for the fire station. There is a convoluted analysis in the staff report regarding the 30-year amortization of a hypothetical building to arrive at the $100,000 annual rent paid by the district to the city. Now, from the district's viewpoint, the $100,000 was all it could afford to pay to make economic sense of the annexation. If the rent were increased, the city's payment to the district would have to increase, out of one taxpayer pocket into the other. So many of the questions I had about the annexation have been answered. But as I said at the beginning of this show, one aspect continues to concern me. But before I get to that, let me say that I was puzzled as to why the transferring firefighters were agreeing to an average pay cut of 6%. I could not imagine myself agreeing to such a thing. But then I realized I could not imagine myself running into a burning building. So I will let that issue pass. What does concern me is that there were three parties to the annexation negotiation: the city, the district, and the Sausalito property taxpayers. The city and the district were represented by attorneys, but the taxpayers had no one. I'm not impugning the honor of those council members who support the annexation, nor any of the city staff. This is a complex matter with some very unusual aspects. You need to be able to swivel your head like Linda Blair in The Exorcist to see all the angles. Why do I have this concern about representation? First is the original $90 parcel/unit tax that was proposed as part of this annexation. When council members Ford and Pfeiffer protested this tax, and the city's survey's results showed the tax to be unpopular, the $90 tax disappeared. If the taxpayers had been represented in this matter, the $90 tax may have never surfaced at all. Second, the city retained an actuarial consulting firm to review the impact of the annexation. The resulting letter, dated June 23rd of this year, is very specific in that the firm confined itself to impacts on the city's contribution to CalPERS and did not address the impact of any changes in the district's contribution to its pension fund arising from the annexation. Again, if the taxpayers had been represented, the consultant might have projected the taxpayers' increased pension liability exposure, if any. Now, working from the back of an envelope, the $3.7 million unfunded liability we discussed earlier for the transferring Sausalito firefighters is roughly 26% of the district's total $14.2 million unfunded liability. Since the Sausalito taxpayers represent roughly 24% of the district's total population, the 26% seems reasonable. But this is one of those Linda Blair areas, and I need to dig in a little further. But what bothers me is that the three council members who voted for the annexation did not seem aware or even concerned about the taxpayers' future exposure. They certainly did not ask the consultant to investigate it. Up until a week ago Wednesday, this issue was going to be put to a popular vote. Then the parcel tax was removed. An inch-thick staff report was handed to the council members 5 days before the vote. And last Tuesday night, the council moved nearly 50% of your home from the city of Sausalito to the Southern Marin Fire District. What was the rush? Why have the public workshops on the annexation only after the council vote? I need to do some more work to fully understand the pension exposure. But I do feel like I'm running to catch up versus being in on the deal. So what should you do? Go to these planned after-the-fact workshops on the annexation and ask some tough questions. If you're not satisfied, you as a taxpayer were adequately represented in the annexation negotiations, file the protest with the Marin Local Agency Formation Commission. If you need more information, contact me at SLANT. That's the word SLANT at radiosausalito.org. I have been assured that once the annexation goes through, the controversy will die down and we will all forget about it. Probably true. But since it will be nearly impossible to reverse the annexation, you need to get your questions answered now. Well, that's my show for today. Please join me again as I shed light on the issues and on the characters that shape Sausalito and Southern Marin. Until then, stay slanted.
You've been listening to A Different Slant, and you can hear us again at this time next week, right here on AM 1610. If there's a question you'd like John to address on the show, or if you have a better answer to any of today's issues, send an email to slant@radiosausalito.org. That's the word slant@radiosausalito.org. This broadcast is available as a free podcast subscription on iTunes or anytime at radiosausalito.org. Different Slant theme produced by Paul Simmons and Mark Keller of Loudville Studios in Sausalito. Find them at loudville.tv. Thanks for listening.